say amen right there, Jason Crow. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good. Just take a little time, shout a little bit. Amen. Thank God, sis. I tell you what, we thank God for you every day. And it's easy and evident to see the work God's done in you and through you, and you're a blessing. Amen. And we thank God you're here. Amen. What a blessing. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. That'd be right after the book of 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, right after 2 Kings, be right before 2 Chronicles. Not real hard to figure out. You got to go to Bible school to get that, amen? It's not what I'm preaching tonight, but I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to work on a message on the family reunion. I got up there to North Carolina yesterday, and I'll be honest with you, I was expecting to walk in the restaurant and maybe 5 or 10 people. I knew my daddy had some family there, but I just didn't think it was going to be that much. I didn't know it, but my grandfather, my daddy's daddy, there was 8 of them. And all their sons and daughters and their sons and daughters were there. It was like 50 people there. And I walked in that room and I was just overwhelmed. And there was not a soul in that room that I'd ever met. I've talked to a couple of them on the phone since Dad died. And I'd never met any of them in my life. And while I was sitting there eating barbecue, Brother Stacy, I had this thought. I've never seen them. I've never met them. One guy came to me and said, "You've been preaching up here all these years. Why ain't you looked us up?" I said, "Man, I didn't know you existed." And he said, "Well, that doesn't mean I ain't your kin." Yeah. Amen. And I thought about one of these days, Brother Charles, there's going to be a family reunion. Yeah. And there's going to be people we've never seen in all our life. There's going to be people we ain't never met, but they're family just the same. Hallelujah. You know what made us family? I fathered that family tree, and there's a blood connection that goes all the way back. And all them little squares with names on them's got a line that connects everyone, and it's that bloodline that just goes all the way back. We don't know how far, but I've got a bloodline tonight that goes all the way back to Calvary. Hallelujah. Woo! Good Lord, I may have a spell right here in a minute. It's going to be a family reunion one of these days. Amen. I want to look at the life, or just a story in the life of a man in 1 Chronicles tonight that you may not know much about, but every time I've read over it, it always interested me, and I jotted down some thoughts in the truck on the way home today, and it's hard to read your Bible and write riding down the road with my sister driving, amen? I'm telling you, that was a miracle right there. But I want to look at this story in the life of this man named Ornan. How many of you ever heard of Ornan? Ornan had a threshing floor, and David had need of it. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight and see what we can learn from this man named Ornan. Now, I want you to look at verse number 18 of 1 Chronicles chapter number 21. Verse number 18, the Bible says, "Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him and hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, 'Grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord, that thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people.' And Ornan said unto David, 'Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for the burnt offering, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering.'" Underline this next phrase in the last part of 23. Ornan said to his king, "I give," how much? "It all. I give it all." And King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there for the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. And that's finishing the chapter right there. Now, I want to preach this thought tonight just for a few minutes. Ornan gave it all. Ornan gave it all. I doubt you have met many Christians. I doubt. You may have. I doubt you have met many Christians who gave it all. There's some missionaries, when I get around them, Brother Allen, I feel like I want to crawl under a table somewhere. When I hear the stories about the hardships that they go through on the mission field and the circumstance that they raise their children under, and you never hear them complain, you never hear them grumble, they're just always giving God the glory. And I'm thinking, my, here I am, I've got a beautiful home, a beautiful family, I've got 3 good meals a day if I want them. I usually don't eat 3, but they're there if I want to. And I've got a car to drive and air conditioning blowing out the vents in the summertime and heat coming out of the floor in the wintertime. And boy, I thought, man, here I live the life of ease. How dare me stand up and say I give it all. I think it was D.L. Moody who once said, it is yet to be seen with a life fully consecrated to God. It is yet to be seen what God could do with a life fully consecrated to God. Tonight, with this thought, I want you to just to think with me for a minute and think of how much of yourself that you have given to God. How much of yourself could you stand there with Ornan at the threshing floor tonight? The threshing floor in my life and the threshing floor in your life is whatever God has need of. It could be your tithes and your offering. God has need of that. Say amen, Brother Tom, wherever you are. He ought to shout, amen. God has need of the tithe and offering to run this ministry. Hey, it may be your mouth that He has need of. It may be your hands and talents that God has given you. Everybody in this room got something you can do and that you're good at. Yeah. Amen. Our Sunday school teacher this morning said that he was talking about giving God your talent, and he said, I don't really have much talent. He said, I couldn't stop on the side of the road and help somebody with the car. He said, but maybe some of you could, and that'd be an opportunity to be a blessing and a witness. Hey, some of you, God have given a mechanical mind, and you can fix things. Can God get glory out of that? Let me ask you again, can God get glory out of that? Ask them 2 little old bus kids that got saved off that, was it Carrollton? One of them was Carrollton, what's the other one? I don't know. But anyway, ask them 2 kids, hey, can God get glory out of an old grease monkey named Dwayne Ray crawling up under a bus and changing some oil and keeping belts tight and changing tires and wheels around just so the buses can roll out? Hey, he may not be in the pulpit preaching the greatest sermon in the world, but God is using him mightily to see people that are saved. Without somebody to give what they have to God, those children would not have gotten here today. Are you all right? What is your threshing floor? That's a good question. That might have been a good title. What is your threshing floor? What is it God has need of? I wasn't born with a big brain. I was born with it, but don't know how to use all of it. Amen. I'm not a very scholarly fella. I'm just not. I'm country. I can't help it. I can't help it. My great-great-great-grandpa was Daniel Boone. Amen. That's my new excuse, and I'm sticking to it. But seriously tonight, God didn't give me a brilliant mind. I mean, God didn't give me the gifts of talents, Brother Charles calls them. And I can't do a lot of things, but God gave me a big mouth, and God gave me a set of lungs, and God gave me a little bit of a backbone where I wasn't afraid to stand up in front of people and tell them what God said. And one day, God came by my threshing floor and said, I have need of that mouth that you got from your mama, that you use it for the honor and the glory of God. And I said, hey, King, if you can get something out of this mouth, you go right ahead and help yourself. Amen. Brother Stacy was whining at me the other day. We was talking about something, and he said, you know, I just don't know if I could ever really do anything for God. He's done more for God than you can shake a stick at since he's been here. He sent 12 people to a mission field. He raised money to buy the literature for the RU. He sent our teens to camp or wherever it was they went, a youth rally. I'm telling you, God got glory out of that. Yeah. Amen. It may not be in the spotlight and may not get all the acclaim and the pats on the back, but we're not in this thing for acclaim and pats on the back. We're in this thing to bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Read Revelations 4:11 and you'll find out why we were created. To give Him glory. And God gets glory out of the talents that He gave you. I doubt when Stacy first got into cooking, and that's a hobby. And it's a talent. Everybody can't do it. You don't want to eat no barbecue I smoke. Amen. It'd probably be more like beef jerky. Amen. Time I got done with it. But there's a talent and there's an art to that. And God, I doubt when He started doing that, He ever thought, boy, one of these days I'm going to get good at this and God's going to get glory out of my barbecue. I doubt it. Did you ever think that? Amen. But God's getting glory out of it. Amen. I'm just thinking about other things people around here can do. I doubt Brother Samuel ever thought when he met a man who was in a hardwood business that God would use that relationship one day to put floor down in God's house. Amen. But God got glory out of that relationship. I'm just saying you have something in your life that would give God glory if you would turn loose of it and let Him have it. Amen. Would you agree to that? You've got Brother Charles has wisdom beyond measure. That didn't come overnight, but I'm glad he offers that for God and not the world. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord for that. What's your threshing floor tonight? What is it that you're holding back that the King has need of? What is it that you're withholding from God? Some of us, we want to say, oh, okay, God, you can have, here's my life, you can have whatever we want, whatever you want, God, but I'm going to hold on to this right here. Ornan made a statement, and we're going to hit it maybe several times before we're done tonight. He said, I give it all. David didn't ask for all of it. Matter of fact, David didn't ask for a gift. David said, I'll buy it and pay you the full price. He said, no. He said, I give it all. I give it all. I'm talking about the threshing floor. I'm talking about the oxen for the sacrifice. I'm talking about the wood for the instruments. I'm talking about the wheat for the sacrifice. He said, it's all yours. If you've got need of something I've got, it's yours. Can you imagine some mighty, mighty millionaire? Somebody who had fame and acclaim, and I can't think of a big name right off the bat, but if you run into them on the street and they said, could you do me a favor? Why, sure. Whatever I could do for you, Mr. So-and-so. Because fame and acclaim and wealth, that carries weight, don't it? In our world, it does. You'd break your back, man. You'd break your back, do whatever they ask. Well, you got somebody who's got more fame and got more acclaim and got more wealth than anybody that's ever walked the face of this earth beside himself, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's something in our life, there's something in our within our grasp to provide for Him, whether it be a talent, whether it be a tithe, or whether it just be some time. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I got to think about driving home. Some of y'all been in and out of work for quite a while. Sometime maybe you could use some of that downtime to say, okay, God, what could you do with my downtime? Here's my threshing floor of downtime. Here's my threshing floor of a time of nothing to do. God, what could you do to get glory out of it? Now, I want to show you how Ornan responded to the king when he came a-calling. And if we had learned to respond like Ornan did when David came calling, I'm telling you, you'd begin to see God get glory out of your life. I mean, let me tell you, so what's such a big deal about that? What do I get out of it? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Man, it thrills my soul. I wasn't here this morning. I was in North Carolina. But, buddy, when I got home and heard tonight about three people got saved, whoo, hallelujah. Hey, God got glory out of our ministry. I get a thrill out of that when people walk the aisle, kneel on this altar and get some help. When somebody shakes my hand at the door on Sunday morning and said, preacher, I really needed that. That is just what I needed. That's just what God ordered. Man, I get a joy and a thrill out of that. Not because it makes me something, but it's that the King came by and used my threshing floor. Amen. 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 I want you to look with me at verse number 20. Verse number 20 and verse number 21. And I want you to notice tonight, number one, Ornan had reverence for his ruler. Ornan had reverence for his ruler. The Bible said, and Ornan turned back in verse number 20 and saw the angel and his four sons with him. He hid themselves. Now Orphan was threshing wheat. In verse 21, the Bible said, as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor. Now watch this. and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. He had reverence for his ruler. Listen, we ought to have reverence for our God. Hey, when God shows up in this place and the Holy Ghost starts moving and people come to the altar and God are dealing with the heart, you know what that means? That means a king is here. Amen. That means he has came and personified himself. He's made himself available to us and he's made himself known to us. And we not shouldn't be sitting there texting on a cell phone. We shouldn't be there checking our Facebook or balancing our checkbook. Hey, we ought to be on our face giving reverence to our God who saw fit to come by where we were. Amen. Amen. Brother, it's an honor and a privilege when the Holy Spirit shows up. I've been where he ain't. Amen. I preached somewhere just recently and I'd have paid somebody $5 to say amen. Amen. I've been in churches where they have the special singing and you're praying they only do one. Oh God, don't let them sing. One congregational song and one hymn's about all you can handle. Just let me preach while I'm still able. Amen. I've been there where you have to labor through the service. There is no fun out of it. I mean, brother, it's an endurance thing. Oh, God, just get us through it. And then you preach and do the best you can. And then the little old preacher gets up and says, anybody a word? Anybody a word? And he keeps on until he gets it. And everybody in the place got to testify three times before they go. And boy, you're just like, oh, Lord, let me get out of here. Listen to me, friends. You're in a place where God shows up. It ain't because of me, and it ain't because of you. It's because for some reason he loves us, and we found favor in his sight, and he comes by our little old threshing floor of Happy Valley Baptist Church on a weekly basis. Hallelujah, I believe I feel him right now. Hey, if he ain't in the pew, bless God, I know he's on the platform tonight. Hey, and we ought to give reverence to our God and say, yes, God, here we are. Yes, God, here am I. Hey, David came and Ornan ran out and fell on his ground, on his face on the ground in reverence to his king. When's the last time you got on your face before God? Yeah. Amen. Hey, sometimes God shows up and you want to go, whoo. Sometimes God shows up and you want to go, whoa. Amen. And sometimes before you can go, whoo, you got to go, whoa. Yeah. Amen. Right. He gave reverence to his God. He gave reverence to his king, excuse me. We give reverence to our God. When he shows up, listen, we'll take church seriously. I know the Lord, the Holy Spirit can meet with you all alone in your vehicle driving to work in the morning, and I pray he does. But we come in here to worship him corporately as a church together. Amen. That's the way he designed it. This wasn't something somebody thought up. This is what Jesus Christ himself designed, that we meet together and assemble ourselves together. Why? So we can worship him corporately and together and share the praises of Almighty God of what he's done in our lives. And we ought to reverence it as this is the place we meet with God. Not a place to find a girlfriend. Not a place to sit and hold hands. And by the way, Brother Freddie, he's flirting my wife over. I done told him. I done told him. But she ain't available, son. But anyway, we come to church a lot of times for many reasons. We wonder, people call me, and y'all ain't going to believe this, but people call me when they know I'm going to be out of town. Who's preaching Wednesday? Who cares? Amen. I don't care if it's Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, or Pluto. We're meeting to worship God. We're meeting because of a man. We're not meeting because of a person. I had a lady drove from 45 minutes away one year on Friday night of our camp meeting. Joe Author was supposed to preach, but Joe wound up in the hospital with diverticulitis. That lady stood right back under Brother Michael about where you are and chewed me out. She said, you mean to tell me I drove 45 minutes to hear Joe and I ain't going to get to hear Joe? I said, but ma'am, I got Earl Hughes. Well, I don't know Earl Hughes. I said, but God does, and Earl Hughes knows him. I said, honey, if you'll sit down right there, I'll promise you, you'll get a blessing worth your 45 minutes if you'll just forget the fact that it ain't Joe Author, and God ain't got to have Joe Author just to move in a service. That's right. Y'all all right? We got the idea if it ain't so-and-so doing it, it just won't be no good. Hey, man, if God shows up, he can put the touch on a deaf mute and you can get a blessing out of it. Amen. God used a man to shake half America up before he went sideways on the Bible. Old David Ring, y'all remember David Ring? I remember the first time I heard that man preach, I sat and cried like a baby. He said, how shall we pause you? What your problem? Y'all remember him? I mean, brother, he'd stir your heart. Hey, I believe God used him. I believe God got glory out of him. God used his disease and his sickness to touch people and to save lives. And like he said, if somebody with cerebral palsy can get up and have the touch of God on them, what's your problem? Amen. We ought to have reverence for God when we come in this place. We ought to teach our children to respect this place. Now, I know it sounds like I'm going right back to where I was last Sunday night, and I'm trying my best not to, but we're going to drive this baby home.
Amen.
Amen. What? God gave us this place, and God meets with us in this place. It ought to be special.
Yes, sir.
It ought to be special. Hey, we play in the gym.
Amen, preacher.
Let me say it again. We play in the gym. We pray and we praise and we preach in the sanctuary.
Amen, preacher.
Now say it again so you'll get it real good. We play in the gym. We pray and we praise and we preach in the sanctuary.
Yes, sir.
This is a hospital for sick people, and we're bringing them in before the presence of God. Hey, you take them to Benny Hinn all day long. You can line up every faith healer in America, and if you did, they'd probably stretch from here to North Alabama, South Alabama somewhere, and they could go through and have every one of them blow in their face and bop them on the head and say, Helamo Hashande, and they'll come out the other end just like they was when they started. Hey, but you can bring an old sinner down the aisle right here, and by the time he gets knelt on his knees good, he's washed in the blood, all his sins are gone. He's got a home in heaven, and in that we ought to reverence that this is a place where God is working.
Amen.
I walked into my uncle, my Aunt Gail's husband, my Uncle Mark. There, thank God they're in heaven together. Amen. I got to lead my uncle to the Lord myself. But he was having a heart attack. I mean a massive heart attack. They called us to come to the hospital, Piedmont Hospital. Emergency, Uncle Mark's in bad shape. It was at nighttime. I took off to Piedmont Hospital. I got to the waiting room there, Brother Charles, where you go in that front part where the desk is at the heart center there. And I asked the lady at the desk, I said, I'm looking for Mark Weldon. She said, you go down two or three doors and take the door on the right. I said, okay. I didn't know, Brother Freddie, but you know in construction when they're sheetrocking, they were remodeling. And sometimes when they're hanging the sheetrock, they'll just sheetrock over a door and then come back and cut it out. Well, that's what they had done. So I didn't count door number one. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
I got to door number two and I said one. I got to door number three and I said two. And I got to door number four and I said door number three, this is it. I walked in, a stainless steel set of doors, and there's a little area, and there's a sink there, and I didn't know where I was going. I just opened the next set of doors. I'm in the OR. I'm in the OR. And that surgeon looks up and says, who the blank are you? I said, I'm looking for Mark Weldon. He said, get him out of here. And I got escorted back to the waiting room by two nurses. In other words, hey, don't come in here contaminating my operating room. If you ain't got nothing to do with the surgery, find yourself someplace else. Why? Because what he was doing was vital, and what he was doing was important, and what I was bringing in there might mess up and contaminate what he was doing. Hey, we ought to make sure we ain't messing up what God's trying to do in here on Sunday morning. Did you know by irreverence to God you can hinder the work of God in service? Listen to me carefully. Ladies, don't fall off the boat with me by not taking your baby out when it's screaming. Watch. I ain't mad at nobody. I'm just telling you. Watch with me. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Hey, I know when they're going to cry. I can tell you. Right about the time I'm fixing to give the invitation and I'm watching, I can tell you which baby's going to cry. Because I'm watching while I'm preaching who's getting under conviction, who God's dealing with. And right about the time I say, let's stand our feet, wah, 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 I believe the devil slips in and pinches them babies on the backside. And when he does, we ought to have reverence enough to know that God may be dealing with somebody's heart right here. And I'm not putting your baby down. Babies cry. That's what they do. That's nothing bad on your baby. All babies cry. That's natural and normal for them. But let's have reverence enough for God to get them out of the way that we might not distract the work of God that's going on.
Amen.
Getting up and running in and out of the house of God, you're drawing more attraction to yourself than the attraction that's on the preacher. Hey, right now I'm the main attraction.
Amen.
Y'all okay? Amen. Go before you come in. If I've got to stand here and preach and hold it for 45 minutes,
yes, sir.
I can't cross my legs. You can. I've never had to say, y'all excuse me, I'll be right back. Would y'all freak out? Especially if I left the microphone on. Wouldn't that be crazy? Everybody just be sat here going, where's he going? I'm sorry, I just can't wait. And then I came back and preached another point and said, I gotta go. I'll be back. Somebody help me. Will to have. Ornan had reverence to his king. When his king showed up, something inside Ornan made him want to bow his face to the ground. Amen. We ought to have reverence when the king comes calling for our threshing floor. And when he shows up here on Sunday morning, and it's evident when the choir starts, I know it as soon as we get going if God's going to show up or if it's just going to be a go through the motions kind of day. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
I can sense it.
Yeah.
I can sense it right here in my gut. Where's Brother William? You ask him. You ask him. Any Sunday I come in, sit down in that chair, and they'll say, boy, I'm so nervous, I can't stand it. I mean, I get a knot in my stomach. That's the Lord saying, you better pay attention.
Yes, sir.
I'm fitting to do something in here. When there's a battle going on in here, I know God's fitting to get busy out here.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. And boy, I start reverencing my God real close and paying attention to what it is He's trying to do and make sure I'm in line with what He's trying to do to make sure that I don't hinder it. That's why I'm willing. Some preachers, have it so set in stone, they've got 7 weeks in advance what they're going to preach. I dare not try that. Because God will change it with me sitting right there in that chair. He's done it over and over and over. Matter of fact, this sermon that I got right here, I just flipped it over in the back of my Bible and wrote this and on it on the way to church. I've done it sitting on the platform right there. Why? I don't want to hinder. I want to show reverence to God and to God's presence by doing that which He's asking me to do. Amen. Ornan had great reverence for his ruler, and we'll have great reverence for our ruler. Amen. When the president comes to the podium and says, okay, let's get started with the speech, he don't have to say it 5 times.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, let's get a seat. All right, now, let's get started. Come on, open your songbooks.
Yeah.
Y'all getting quiet on me now, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
And that old white-haired man of God stands up here and said, all right, let's get our songbooks. Let's get in our seat and let's get our songbook. It's time to meet with God. Somebody important's fixing to speak. And it's more important than whatever it is you're jabbering about in the aisle and in the pew. And I ain't trying to whoop up on you tonight, but I'm saying we ought to do better in our reverence to the things of God in the house of God. Amen. And I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I wasn't even here when the singing started tonight, but it wasn't because I didn't want to be. Amen. I promise you I'd have been standing right there than sitting on 85 in bumper-to-bumper traffic. Amen. Ornan had reverence for his ruler. Let's make sure in our life, as God is coming, seeking our threshing floor, that we've got reverence for our ruler. That we've got reverence for our ruler. You know what will cause you not to have? Pride and rebellion.
Yes,
pride and rebellion. What happened? I may not get off this point. What happened in the heart, in the mind of Ornan when David showed up was, here is somebody higher. Here is somebody mightier than I. Here is somebody who has a complete authority in my life. That's what caused him to bow. It wasn't just any old Joe that showed up in the driveway. It was the king. It was God's anointed. And he went out there and humbled himself. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Some people have problems with authority.
Amen, sir.
When the king comes calling, Ornan could have said, what's he want, man? I hope he don't want my threshing floor.
Yeah.
I worked hard to build this. This is my life's work right here. I hope that guy, he better not ask for mine. I'm already thinking about my neighbor down the road. Old John's got a better threshing floor than mine. That'd make a better one, really. That's our attitude towards God. Amen. And we ought to just humble ourselves and swallow our pride, or just crucify our pride and crucify the flesh. And when God comes calling, we ought to bow ourselves in reverence to Him. And say, buddy, there's somebody here more important than me. There's somebody here got something more important that I could ever even think of. I think I'll just shut up and listen. Amen.
Look at verse number 23. I know y'all want me to hurry up and get done with that point. Amen. Verse number 23. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. I want you to notice something with me. Not only did he have a great reverence for his ruler, but Ornan had a readiness to react. Ornan had a readiness to react. Do you understand that David did not have to go into a long conversation with him, a long dialect explaining exactly, well, so-and-so said, God sent so-and-so to tell me to come to your threshing floor, so I'm here to fulfill what God said today. He didn't have to go through all that. He just said, I need your threshing floor to build an altar, and he reacted with readiness. He was ready to give to the king whatever the king needed. It didn't take five chapters. God didn't have to put Ornan in a toll hold, mash his face to the ground and said, serve me or die. No, he was ready to give what he had. He was ready. He wasn't no begging for it. He didn't have to cast 10 plagues on him. Hey, it didn't take cancer. It didn't take a bad doctor's report. It didn't take the loss of a job. All it took was asking. I've been in the ministry going on 20 years, and I've noticed sometimes for God to get our attention, he has to get us in a rough spot. You remember the message, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
First thing you do when you get in trouble is, oh who? Oh God. Oh God. But I want to be ready when he comes. I want to be ready when he comes. Hey, as a young preacher, I never knew. I never knew when I might get the opportunity to preach. My preacher, Brother Greg will tell you, Brother Clint will tell you, my preacher, he was one of them kind. I'm talking about no organization, none whatsoever. He would be sitting on the platform one Sunday, on a Sunday morning. He never let us preacher boys preach on Sunday morning. I'm sitting right there where Zechariah is, and he sat there, and he gets up, and he opens his Bible. He's got his glasses on the ends of his nose, and he just stand there, and everybody's looking at him like, what? What are you going to do? He just stood there. It seemed like minutes. I don't know how long it actually was. And he finally closed his Bible. He said, y'all pray for Brother Eddie as he comes with a message. I didn't go, he didn't call me and say, you might ought to be ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Hey, country boys, now I don't wear it when I'm in a suit, but country boys, you should never have to ask, do you have a knife?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're a country boy, you ought to just be able to say, hey, let me borrow your knife.
That's
right. We used to say all the time, somebody say, you got a knife? You'd say, I got my britches on, ain't I?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Brother Earl say, Brother Eddie, you got a message? I got my Bible in my hand, ain't I?
Yes.
I got a shirt and tie on, ain't I? Sure I got a message, friend. I'm ready.
Yes, sir.
I'm ready. Hey, you never know when God's going to present the opportunity to use you. God never calls you a week in advance and says, okay, a week from Monday, I'm going to send this guy by, and he's going to have a situation. It's going to blow your mind how you're going to be able to help him. So I want you to be ready, because you're going to be able to give him counsel. This guy's going to be interested in getting saved, so I want you to be sure and have a gospel track or some scriptures ready. Are y'all listening? You don't know. You don't know. We don't have a divine appointment calendar. But there are divine appointments, would you agree? I don't think anybody called Ornan and said, hey, David's coming. Better clean up that threshing floor. David's on his way. No, he was ready when he got there.
Amen.
David asked, he responded.
Yes, sir.
Is that fast? It didn't take 47 verses of just as I am. He come on the first verse, Brother Freddie. He come on the first verse. I mean, the first lick out of the piano, Ornan was on his face. Whatever you need, King. He had a readiness to respond. And we ought to come to church with a readiness to respond.
Yes,
it shouldn't be the attitude, well, if they sing one more verse, I'll go.
Yeah, come on.
It ought to be the attitude, well, if he'll quit preaching.
Yes, sir.
And she'll play that piano, I'll go.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We ought to have that kind of readiness. But to have that kind of readiness, we've got to have that kind of tenderness.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we got people in our church who don't know when he's here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
If we didn't tell you, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't have a clue. Somebody asked you, Holy Ghost show up today? I don't know. He didn't come by where I was. Y'all all right? If we didn't tell you we had a good meeting, you wouldn't know it. Because you sure didn't get nothing out of it. Amen. Why come is it some people leave with their boat loaded?
Yeah.
Some leave with their wheelbarrow empty.
Yeah.
We come to the same place, saw the same stuff, heard the same stuff. Somebody came ready.
Amen.
Somebody came to get out. Somebody came to get something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. I come to get something.
Amen.
Paul said, this is one of the first messages I preached when I was a young preacher. When Paul said in Romans, I am ready.
Yeah.
I am ready. He said, I am ready to preach. That's what he said, I am ready to preach. He said, I'm a debtor, I'm ready. And I forgot what the last one I was, I used in that little message. It was one of the first messages I preached. And ever since I preached that message, yeah, preach was one of them. Ever since I preached that message, I've tried to purpose in my heart, Lord, I always want to be ready when you come by.
Amen.
I always want to be ready when you come by. When you give the invitation and you deal with my heart, I want to be ready. I don't want you to have to beg me no more. I want you to have to beg me no more. It ain't going to take 10 verses of just as I am.
Amen.
Lord, I'm going to be ready. When you call, I want to answer.
Yeah.
Like when you called Abraham, said, Abraham, Abraham, here am I.
Yeah.
Here am I.
Ready,
amen.
Yes, sir.
Some of you aren't ready because you don't know when he even comes by.
Yeah.
And we ought to be ready to respond. We ought to be ready to respond. By the way, even with this simple message tonight, you're going to respond to it somehow or another. Somehow or another. Some of you will care enough to ask God what your threshing floor is. Some of you just don't care at all. And if God showed you what your threshing floor was, you wouldn't let him have it. Even if he's offering to buy it. And by the way, are you saved? Raise your hand. Look up here at me real good. He's already bought it. He's already bought it. It's already his. It's already paid for. It's his. Let him have it.
Amen.
Amen. He had a reverence for his ruler. He had a readiness to react. He had a readiness to react. Have you ever had God deal with your heart? I mean, really? Put somebody in your face, whether it's on your job, and it's the perfect opportunity. I mean, perfect. Ain't nobody around.
Yeah.
I had a guy. I worked out of an old short bus. When I worked at Board of Education, they made work trucks out of them. Thank God they at least painted them white. Amen. And they put tool bins inside. And I was parked behind one of the elementary schools over in Douglas County. And I went out to the truck to get some parts. And here come the janitor crawling up on my bus. And he said, "Preacher, can I talk to you a minute?" I said, "Why, sure." And brother, he started talking to me. And God got to deal with my heart about witnessing that man. And buddy, my lips clammed up. And my heart started beating 9,000 miles an hour. I should have been ready. I should have been ready. I hem-hawed around, let that man get off my bus. I went in and fixed a toilet that I was working on. I started walking them halls till I found that guy. I said, "Can you come back out to my bus?" I said, "I was supposed to talk to you and you was out here a while ago." I said, "I wouldn't be a good friend to you if I didn't come back to get you and tell you what I was supposed to say." I said, "As your friend, I want to know, are you saved? Are you saved?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "But I'm so far away from God. I got bitterness in my heart. It was a relationship deal. But I got to kneel down in the aisle of that little old bus. It was just room between them tool bins, Brother Clint. We was both able to get down there on that floor and kneel and pray. That old boy got right with God. He got right with God. Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
But I would have been ready the first time.
Yes,
he came to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
What if he'd have clocked out and went home?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He had a reverence for his ruler. He had a readiness to respond. Now watch this. We've hit it a little bit tonight, but we're going to hit it a little bit more. Ornan relinquished his resources. Ornan relinquished his resources. He had a reverence for his ruler. He had a readiness to react, but Ornan relinquished his resources. We read the verse just a while ago. All David asked for was the threshing floor. All David asked for was the threshing floor. When God asks for some little something in your life, you know what the best response is? Get it all. He said, "I give it all." He didn't say, I'll sell you it all. He said, I give it all. We sing that song, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. But we sing that with lying lips so often. They're just mere words floating off our tongue.
Yes, sir.
You know what? He will never ask for more than you can give Him. Did you know the Lord's never asked me to do anything I couldn't physically do? Never. He's never asked me to do anything that He wasn't ready to equip me to do. When He asked me to preach, I'll be honest with you, I said, there's no way. There's no way. Y'all think I talk like a hick now. Go way back and get some of them tapes from when I first came here. First time I went and preached up north, they didn't understand me. They really didn't understand me. And when I went to Australia, they really, really, really didn't understand me. I thought there was no way possible, Brother Allen, that God could take me and use me. I really didn't think it was possible. But I forgot to read that verse where He said, with God, all things are possible. If He can make a stone to cry out and give Him glory, surely He can use an unlearned country boy.
Amen.
I wasn't ready to relinquish all I had. I'll never forget that night. I didn't know how life-changing it was, Brother John. I crawled up under that pulpit at White Oak Springs, and I said, God, here it is. And it wasn't just a prayer from my lips. It was a prayer from my heart. I said, here it is.
Amen.
If you can get anything out of it, Lord, help yourself.
Amen.
Not just a little bit of it, but God, here's all of it. Here's all of it. Here's all of it. Little did I know what all of it was. I'm still figuring it out day by day, little by little. I never dreamed I'd get to go to North Carolina and preach to family I didn't even know I had. I'm still figuring it out, little by little, and day by day. Listen, when we surrender all, it's not that God's taking from us.
That's right.
And that's the way we like to think. But it's not that God's trying to take this away from you and take that away from you and just make your life miserable. No. When we surrender all to Him, we're getting.
Amen.
We're getting. We're on the receiving end of this thing. Amen. That night when I surrendered all, and I literally waved the white flag of surrender and said, okay, God, here's my life. Whatever You say, if You want me in Africa eating monkey meat, God, if that's Your will, send me a plane ticket. I'll be out of here tomorrow. I'm in it. By the way, my good friend, Kurt, good friend. Kent Nugent, the guy who came down from my daddy's funeral, pastor's over in Louisiana. He's on a 18-week mission trip in Africa. I was trying to remember where your sister was, so he called me from Africa. Called me yesterday and left me a voicemail. I didn't answer it because it was about a 15-digit phone number. I didn't have a clue. And he left me a voicemail. He called me the other day. He said, preacher, he said, we're literally seeing hundreds of people saved every day.
Amen.
And they're going from village to, they've been in Zambia. That's where he was when he called me. And they're going from village to village to village and town to town. He said, it's unreal. I've never seen anything like it. He said, we're seeing hundreds saved every day. He said, I can't give you a number because I ain't got a clue.
Yep.
I said, wow, Brother Kent, that is awesome. I said, what are you doing way over? He said, God told me to go. I said, boy, I like that. I'm glad He told you. Called me and left me a voicemail yesterday while I was in the family reunion. You know what he said? He was just crying. I got the voicemail right here. He said, Brother Eddie, I just led a full-blown witch doctor to Christ. Wow. You know what it was? He relinquished his resources.
Amen.
He went to his church and he said, church, I know this is a big thing. And he pastors a small church. But he went to him and he said, I know this is a big thing, but God's doing my heart. I don't want to resign my church. I have no desire to leave here.
Amen.
But God's dealing with me to go to the mission field.
Amen.
Can you give me 18 weeks? That church stood on her feet 100% and said, preacher, if God wants you to go, you go. We'll be here when you get back.
Yeah.
I thought that's pretty cool.
Yes, sir.
And that's a, y'all don't tell nobody, it's a Southern Baptist church. They just don't know it. Amen. What a blessing. Thank God for some men who are still willing to relinquish their resources. Brother Jason Crow ain't a perfect man by no means. I could tell you some of his faults, but I wouldn't do that. I'm kidding, Brother Jason. But that RU program started and is working because Brother Jason was willing to relinquish some resources. He would never tell you from his own mouth, but I'll do it, whether he likes it or not. There's a whole lot of his own money went into starting this program. I mean a whole lot of his own money. I know the figures. Thank God for people who are willing to relinquish what they have, that their king may be honored and glorified. Amen. Are you willing to relinquish your resources for God? What if this church got in a building program? What if we decided it was time to do something? And I got up here and said, okay, we're fixing to start a building fund, we're fixing to start this or start that. What would you be willing to do? Yeah. Would you be willing to relinquish some resources? You say, well, I ain't got no money. Sell something. Y'all listen? Boy, it got quiet on me. Yeah. I had a desire to serve God full time. I had a deep desire to serve God full time. And the Lord said, you can't afford to go full time. I said, I know. Lord, I can't afford it. I can't afford to go full-time. Church can't afford it. God said, I didn't buy that bass boat. Yeah. You don't serve me full-time? Relinquish your bass boat.
Yeah.
He said, I didn't buy that Z71 pickup truck you're driving neither. I went home, told my wife. Well, before I did, I got down the floor of that little bus at work. I said, God, if you really want me to sell that boat, I said, let somebody come up to me and ask me, is it for sale?
Yeah.
I left straight from, not Winston, Beulah Elementary School, went to the bus barn to get gas. You know Eddie at the bus barn? I'm out there pumping gas in that bus. I ain't thought no more about it. I hear somebody behind me, hey, preacher, you want to sell that boat?
Yeah.
It ain't been 10 minutes. I said, okay, God, if you're really serious, I'm fixing to put a price on that boat more than it's worth, have him not bat an eye at it. I said, well, I might be willing to get rid of it. He said, what do you take for it? And I throw the number out, and he said, you take cash? He said, can you bring it into work with you tomorrow? I said, I can. I walked home, went home. Hey, I was walking in a couple days. I went home and told my wife. I said, you ain't going to believe what happened today. She said, what? I said, I sold my boat. She said, you're lying. Did you buy another one?
Yeah.
That's what she said. I said, no, baby, God wants us to serve him full time. And her face turned white. All the blood went to her feet. I said, God told me if I wanted to serve him full time, I'd have to sell that boat. I said, a boy come up to me and offered to buy it. I told her the story. I said, I'm taking it to work tomorrow. It's gone. I put my ad. They used to have the little newspaper in the stores around here, the Trader, the Auto Trader. I think now it's online. They had the Auto Trader. I put an ad in the Auto Trader, put that Z71 truck in that Auto Trader. The morning they came out, the very early, I just had got to work, my phone, my beeper went off. I had a beeper then. My beeper went off, and I called the number, and the guy said, you still got that truck? I said, yeah. He said, are you willing to take such and such? I said, no, sir, the price is firm. He said, what time will you be home today? I told him, he said, you take cash. Wasn't it? It was just like that. God wanted to know, was I willing to relinquish my resources that he might get more honor and glory out of my life? I'm not asking you to sell your boat. Didn't nobody ask me to sell mine? The Lord did. The church didn't, Brother Charles didn't say, Brother Eddie, if you'll sell that boat, we'll put you on full time. That was never even a conversation. But the Lord did. Are you willing that God may get glory out of it?
I'm telling you, I believe it's God's will. He's going to do something here. He already has. But I believe He's going to do more. I believe He's coming soon. I believe He's coming soon. I believe God has a desire to do more. But He's going to need our threshing floor to do it. Amen. He had a reverence for His ruler. He had a readiness to react. He had a will to relinquish His resources. I'll give you this, verse number 25, and I'm done. So David gave to Ornan the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And he built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offering. Look up here. Because he had a reverence for his ruler, because he had a readiness to react, because he was willing to relinquish his resources, Ornan got to receive and enjoy his reward. He got to receive and enjoy his reward. You listen to me carefully. He was willing to give it for nothing. He refused to sell it to David and said, I give it to you. I give it all. I give it all. But he got paid for it anyway. Did he not? Listen, you will never go wrong relinquishing your resources and having a readiness to respond to your Savior. You won't suffer for it. You may suffer some persecution, but God ain't going to do you wrong. You're not going to walk around with your kid's belly sunk in, starving to death, because you decided you'd serve God. Now, I ain't saying go to work tomorrow and quit because people cuss on your job. That's the stupidest thing you'll ever do in your life. But be willing to be obedient to God. If you quit a job right now, you're stupid anyhow. Because there's somebody standing in line to take it, amen? And it may not be the job of your dream, but if it's a job, it's a job. Amen? But he was rewarded. You know what? I've got a nicer truck now. Well, it ain't quite as nice now. It's got a bunch of miles on it. But do you know how many nicer trucks I've had since I sold that Z71? Brand new ones. I've got a boat. It ain't as nice as the boat I had, but it's perfect for what I want to do. And I can go fishing anytime I want. Amen. It's sitting under my awning at the house under about that much dust. Something changed in here. I still enjoy going when I can and the urge hits me. Amen. See, if I had a $25,000 boat sitting out there, I'd feel like I had to go three or four times a week to make it worth having. Amen. That little $500 boat, man, it ain't eating nothing. Amen. Man, God's gave me back so much more than I ever gave up. Not only did God ask me to relinquish the boat and the truck, but he said relinquish the house too. And we went and took the house that my wife grew up with. The floors, there was a hole in the kitchen floor this big around. It was bad. It was in bad shape. Had been let go for years and years. The seals, I guess ain't that what you call, you build your walls on top of them, sets on top of the block. Is that the seals or the bands? Whatever that is on the outside, totally rotten. You could dig them apart with your fingers. And we moved out of a house that was only a few years old, moved into that house. God allowed us to remodel it and make it pretty. Some of y'all have been where I live now. I've got a beautiful home. And I thank him for it every single day. And I don't deserve it, but I believe I have it because one day I was willing to relinquish my resources. And God keeps blessing. I can't explain it. I can't make it work out on paper. A CPA couldn't figure it out. Ain't no telling that thousands of dollars a CPA would try to charge me to try to figure out my blessings. How good God's been to me. Man, I remember Stacy as a teenager loving to hunt and fish. And you'd hear about them old big deer out in the Midwest and all this stuff. I always dreamed about something. Then I got to go for free. Isn't that something? Yeah. It ain't because I could afford it. It's because of what I do. Yeah. It's because of what I do. I'm spoiled rotten. I travel and preach. And man, when I go different places, you wouldn't believe some things God allows me to see, some things God allows me to do. I'm telling you, you won't go wrong singing "I Surrender All" and meaning it. Amen. I bet Ornan not one time ever laid in his bed with his wife and said, "You know what? I wish I'd never let David have that threshing floor over there." But I bet many a nights he said, "Honey, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad we was willing to give David everything we had? Ain't you glad? Look what God's done in our life." Huh? Well, me and my wife said that many a time.
Amen.
Ain't you glad?
Amen.
Ain't you glad? What's your threshing floor? Is there a reverence for your ruler? Do you reverence him enough to give him attention when he calls? Are you listening? Is there a readiness to respond? Tonight, there's something in each of our lives that God has need of and that God wants. Listen to me, he won't just take it. He wants you to give it to him because you want to. He wants you to give it to him because you want to. Why? That's a pattern through the whole Bible. Why did God made Adam and Eve. God created everything, the Garden of Eden. He put them in a perfect place. He knew what they were going to do. Why did he put the tree of knowledge of good and evil in that garden? Why did he even put that tree in there and then forbid them to touch it? Why? He wanted Adam and Eve to serve him because they wanted to.
That's right.
He gave them a will and he wanted them to choose him over that.
Yeah.
And God's gave us that same will. And he wants us to choose his glory over ours.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good.
What's your threshing floor tonight? Sister Janice, would you and Elizabeth come? Did Elizabeth slip out, or is she still here? Sister Janice, you come. Sing a verse tonight, if you would. Let's stand to our feet. Hope that was all right tonight. I don't really know how to give the invitation except come and say, "Lord, I give it all. I give it all. Whatever it is you have need of, whatever it is you want, Lord, I give it all." Let's just mind God tonight.